Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A look over the last couple of years since President Donald Trump became the President of the United States of America is an interesting overview of a number of issues: Israel, life, religious liberty, judges, employment, the government, and much more. We're going to be talking about some of these highlights on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, there's too much to go over in this program, but we're going to try to touch some highlights. I have a PowerPoint that I have done, and even that PowerPoint is just an overview of some of the many issues that have happened. But when you look back over the last couple of years, it's really astounding. And we have this information available. It's broken up in terms of Israel, life, religious liberty, judges, government, economy, international engagement, and a summary. But let's begin with Israel. That's what I first begin with. In the past 2 years, there has been the declaration that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and that is significant. It happened, Holly, in the 70th year of modern Israel's rising as a nation in 1948, in May of 1948, and then this was in 2018. That's a significant period, 70 years, and that is true that goes back thousands of years because that goes all the way back to King David.
Right, and you've since been to Israel since all this has happened with President
Many
Trump.
Many times.
They certainly appreciate his efforts, don't they?
Many times. Oh, they do. There's no question. There have been places in the Golan Heights, the northern part, that are named now Trump Heights. Mm. I was just there recently with Anita for an exploratory trip to look at different options for an Israel 2.0 tour. For example, of taking a tour for people who've already been there and adding some additional unique sites. The drivers that we had were so appreciative of what has happened over the last 2 years under President Donald Trump.
I mean, he finally moved the embassy to Jerusalem. How many presidents have been talking about
that?
Goes
all the way back
long?
To years in the 1990s.
As well as declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel.
Jerusalem the
how
capital.
Long has
the
that
embassy
been talked
is
about? Yeah.
Now in Jerusalem. We take our Covenant Journey young people and others that we take to Israel, and we get that photo op right there with that seal of the embassy in Jerusalem. As a result of that, other nations are moving their embassy to Jerusalem as well. He's the first president to ever visit and pray at the Western Wall. He signed and promoted the Taylor Force Act. We were involved in working on that. One of our Covenant Journey students spent a summer helping us in our nation's capital, where one of our offices is, to focus on the national policy.
Of course, that's taking away taxpayer money from terrorism.
Yeah, the Taylor Force Act is actually an act that says we're not going to fund the Palestinian Authority until such time as they denounce violence. Mm-hmm. We've been giving them hundreds of millions of dollars every year through different presidencies, knowing that they use a number of those dollars to pay families of people who have committed terroristic acts. So if you commit a terroristic act and you actually are dead as a result of that, then the family gets lifelong benefits.
Yeah, they see it as acts of heroism over there.
Yeah, and if you're in prison but you're not dead, you still get benefits. It's a graduated scale. The more severe action, the more benefits you get. In addition to cutting $200 million from the Palestinian Authority budget that has been used to undermine Israel, cut another $25 million to the Palestinian Authority, approved a 10-year military package, delivered the first F-35 stealth jets to Israel. One of our Covenant Journey students actually helps train fighter pilots at the simulator. He was there when that first F-35 jet was delivered, and cut funding for parts of the United Nations, including withdrawing from UNESCO, cut funding for UNRWA, which is the entity that is very anti-Israel. And you can go on and on and on about what has happened with regards to Israel.
Right. Decertified the Iran deal and imposed sanctions on that. You know, and they negotiated $285 million to cut in the UN budget, which, as you said, is not very friendly toward Israel at all. And right. We've been putting lots of money into that. So.
And because, and the reason why that was cut is because they are so anti-Israel.
Right.
So life, I mean, we can go on and on about Israel, but I know the Israelis are so appreciative. Everywhere I go, they talk about how appreciative they are of what's happened over the last couple of years. It wasn't like that before. No. Under Life, it's the first president to ever address the March for Life, the first VP to ever be there in person and restated the Mexico City policy, which blocked $9 billion in aid from funding abortion. The Department of Health and Human Services has issued these guidelines on religious freedom to protect healthcare workers who are being forced to participate in abortion. And in fact, recently, Holly, we did a program on this. The University of Vermont Medical Center forced a nurse to participate in an abortion against her clearly stated religious objections. Now the Department of Health and Human Services, the Office of Civil Rights, has stepped in, and they've told the hospital, change your policies within 30 days, protect religious freedom, conscience rights, or lose all your federal funding.
Exactly. And he's expressed strong support for the Paying Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, and then, of course, would stop abortions after 20 weeks. That, unfortunately, has been going back and forth with legislators, and it's just very clear it's murdering children.
It's murdering
so
children.
So thankfully, the president is supporting that.
And religious liberty. If you look at religious liberty, the president has issued an executive order that says that the so-called Johnson Amendment cannot or should not be enforced by the Internal Revenue Service or the Department of Justice. What is that? Well, that's a law that came into effect in 1954 by then Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson, later President Johnson. And he put that law in the IRS code saying that nonprofits, which would include churches, cannot engage in any political activity with regards to a candidate, cannot endorse or oppose a candidate for public office. Well, it's a paper tiger, as we've mentioned. We have a DVD, by the way, that's called Silence is Not an Option. And that DVD goes over what pastors and churches can do. And in that DVD, I say that not one church has ever lost its tax-exempt status since these restrictions were placed in the IRS code. Not one. Not a single one. But, unfortunately, this paper tiger sometimes has teeth in that it's only how it's perceived. Pastors sometimes use it as an excuse or sometimes legitimately think that they can't talk about political issues.
And, you know, you've been very faithful about going around and addressing some of these pastors at different conferences and educating and encouraging them. They have got to speak about these issues to their people.
Right. And so if you want to get the Silence is Not an Option DVD and give it to your pastors, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, and ask us for that, or call us at 407-875-1776. Well, what the president did was he issued an executive order instructing the IRS that if pastors make these personal endorsements, even from the pulpit or in their communication channels, that IRS should not take any action.
So yeah, he talked about that.
That has
even
freed up more so churches so that you don't need to be afraid. Right. Don't need to be afraid to speak out on biblical moral issues. We also know that the Department of Justice has issued religious liberty guidelines and instructed all of the different agencies to do the same. That's how and why the Department of Health and Human Services issued these guidelines to protect healthcare workers from being forced to participate in abortions. These are nurses, doctors, assistants, any person in the healthcare industry, including pharmacists. So they don't have to violate their religious freedom conscience rights.
You know, and he rescinded some of these lovely parting gifts that President Obama left regarding the whole LGBT issues, particularly in the military, which I think is a huge issue for safety as well as religious liberty.
Exactly. Obama did a number of those things in the twilight of his presidency in the summer of the election, just before he left office. And many of those have been reversed under the Trump administration. For more information about advancing religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, and marriage and the family, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. You can also visit our sister website, lcaction.org, lcaction.org. And there you'll see a lot of emails on a wide variety of federal issues and laws. You can sign up for the emails at either one of those websites, lcaction.org or lc.org. And that will allow you to not only be informed of these critical issues that are taking place in our country, but also to be able to participate and have your voice heard. Go to lc.org or lcaction.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.